I think it's more of a conversation or a discussion than a revelation. When I say revelation, what are the first things that come to mind? The first thing you see? Jeff, what's the first thing you think of? Revealing? The end? Correct? After? Oh, that's weird. See, yeah, those are the things that come to mind, and rapture, things like that. I get a tendency to read the book of Revelation. We're going to think about it with fear. I know a few people who didn't want to read that book because somebody told them that to be a Christian that, don't read that book yet, put fear into it. It might scare you to death. Probably a book of comfort. Yeah. All that book we've seen as a book of comfort. When we have the foundation, find peace instead of being afraid of the judgments that are in there. We're afraid of the peace. All these other illustrations that Apostle John gives, that feels like Caesar is Lord. So they have living content. They weren't in balance with what God said and how the area they were living in. Caesar said, he was Lord of all, he was persecuting, he was taxing everybody. And yet they followed the teaching that Jesus was Lord. So John wrote this to set straight all the doubts of the people that were probably thinking, where is God right now? Where is the Messiah that's supposed to set up this kingdom if Caesar is still ruling? I'm just like, thinking, you know, where is God right now? Why do people, you know, do that? Or have bad things done to them? Why some die when they shouldn't at all? It's very political, this book. And, Revelation chapter 4, chapter 4 is a vision that John has of the throne in heaven. I'll pick it with verse 4. Around the throne are 24 thrones, and seated on the thrones are 24 elders, clothed in white garments, with golden crowns on their heads. From the throne came flashes of light, lightning, and rumblings and peals of thunder. Before the throne were burning seven torches, which are the seven spirits of God. Before the throne, there was, as it were, a glass sea, like crystal. And around the throne, on each side of the throne, are four living creatures, full of eyes in front and behind. The first living creature like a lion, the second creature like an ox, the third living creature with the face of a man, and the fourth living creature like an eagle with a pipe. And the four living creatures, each of them with six wings, are full of eyes all around them, and within, day and night, they never cease to say, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come." And whenever the living creatures give glory and honor and thanks to Him, who is seated on the throne, who lives forever and ever, 24 elders fall down before Him, and is seated on the throne, and worship Him, who lives forever and ever. They cast their crowns before the throne, saying, "Worthy are you, our Lord and God, to receive glory and honor, power, for you created all things, and by your will they existed and were created." Now who is terrified of the four creatures? John sees this vision of this glorious throne. He can't see God exactly, or he doesn't define God, because, you know, God has no shape or form. He just exists. But, you know, he describes him with some emeralds. He describes what's around the throne. And he describes all these other thrones that are casting their crowns. Rulers and casting crowns. And Jesus. So this is a picture of God as the supreme ruler of all, that all other kings are giving their authority to Jesus. And at that time, the main question they all ask is, who really is Lord of all? And John seeks to answer by showing that in heaven it's God that is the ruler of all. And what is true in heaven must be true on earth. And so they would take this is pre-revolutionary for them at the time, to know that, you know, it is God that is Lord. It is not Caesar. It is not any other empire that would come in and take over. It's God as a charge. This was meant to alter perception. Like I said, good part of the struggling with the Bible. You know, why are all these things happening? Why are all these things happening? It's Christian, you know, there were a few martyrs at the time, but no one really about another 57 years after that time. Why is John in jail for this reason? Why are we being tax heavy? Why are we on this economic persecution where there is sacred? You know, and John has this vision of it really is God who's in charge. The whole book is to alter perception. That's why the imagery of this four pieces is so in-depth that when they were first hearing this, they would get so, I imagine they would be so entered into this vision that they would forget their surroundings, they would forget what emperor they're living under, that they would, you know, envision themselves right there in front of the throne. Just them and God forgetting about their surroundings. It's kind of like the bird's eye view. Congratulations. Things to add. But I said, you know, bless those person who hears his words. It says it very plain. I read through this passage. There's a lot of things in there that are very difficult to grasp. Even I don't understand most of those things, but the questions are fine for this book. But I love the beginning, and I love the ending. I think that's all we really need to know right now, is the ending of Revelation 21. Verse 24. It says, "Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. And I saw a holy city, a new Jerusalem, coming out of the heaven of God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, Behold, the dwelling place of God is with man, and he will dwell with them. They will be his people, and God will be with them as their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain anymore, for the former things have passed away." This is my Mount Everest scripture of Palachai. I look at everything else that's going on in life and within the Bible. That at the very end, you know, God's new kingdom will come down, and all death will be no more, there'll be no more pain, no more sorrow. And it's from that I interpret the rest of my life, interpret the rest of every time I'm reading my life, all the suffering, or to hear any kind of tragedy right now. You know, I look to the ending, what it's going to be like eventually. And I say something that, if there's a day game for the daughters, and I wasn't able to watch it, but somehow I found out that they won. The daughters always replay their games late at night. So if they already won the game, I can watch the game, even if they go down 10-0, I know that at the ending they're eventually going to win. So I don't get stressed out about them being down 10-0 because I know the ending already. And that's how I can explain it best, that we know this ending, that God wins, He has a victory, we have a victory, that every tear we shed will be wiped away, that death will be no more, that there will be no more separation, that we'll be together with God. Us, then I don't have to worry about the things that happen here and now, or the tragedies that happen, or the tears that we shed. I can project the future, imagine Jesus here with us, and take perspective on the things that are going on right now. You know, it gives me great comfort. And I really think that's how they understood it originally. This was an assurance that God is God. Caesar is not God. In the end, evil will be taken care of. The things that have harmed us, robbed us of living a free life, those things will be passed away. And we will be God's people who will leave us. You know, verse 1 talks about the sea was no more. I think that's one of the things we really can't take too literally. It's more of an imagery. Because in the Bible, the sea is a pictorial of a flood, but something that caused massive destruction. So things that will cause destruction will be no more. And I'm pretty sure there'll be an ocean or other lakes. If God created them, it'll be good. But things that cause destruction from one of us, those will be gone. Thinking about death will be no more. Someone passed away before their time. That is the ultimate separation. When Adam and Eve sinned, they were separated from God and from each other. This is God's ultimate reversal. He's saying, I will bring people back together again. I will bring you back together with me. You know, there will be no more crying. This will be reality. This will be true. That. And I'll take comfort. You know, chapters 2 and 3 of Revelation, John writes to each church individually, Pergamum, Philadelphia, Ephesus, three of them. And each one has a different message to them. But it was still one letter sent to all. So what I take from that is that God speaks to us all individually, Yes, I'm a message for the greater good. So I don't know how God will speak to you individually through this, picturing the end before it's happened. But for each one of you, God will speak to your heart how you can use the book of Revelation itself as a comfort, seeing the end before it's happened, seeing victory while you're still in the battle. I lose the battle, so the war is won. And all loss, all heartache will be taken care of. When Jesus returns, when the Lord returns, we have his promise here. The end of Revelation says, I'm coming soon. We will come soon. We don't know how that's going to happen. There's no charts we can take. Just analyze the book of Revelation to death and find out exactly on this day, 2012. Right, Jack? September 11th, he's going to come back. You know, Jesus is not going to come back when we think he will. Even if he's not coming back in our lifetime, this is the only lifetime we have. So we can live with the hope and assurance that in the end God has a victory. So we can implement that within our lives. There will be casualties along the way, and I can't deny that. But the Lord has been one. Jesus will return victorious. All the things that cause separation in the meantime will be undone and redone. Because you, heaven, we're dwelling with him. Lord, what do you need a son? His glory is so bright that we can dwell with him. That's reality. It's more real than what we're experiencing now. So what now? There's that God is Lord of all. So just take that with you every single day. And work this up, and you know, there's social injustice where you see bad things happening to good people. Take assurance that God is still Lord of all. He's Lord of all the hurts and all the sorrows, but still. And but it seems like if God were arguing, why are all these things still happening? And we have a chance to get angry at him. Just find assurance that he is aligning those with the fact he still has a victory. It's up to us to go fight the war in the meantime. See if he comes to bring the ultimate machine and take out that. That is a very question for that's what we need to do. What's that? In Revelation?
Yeah.
I'm going to is a business from Washington. May you wipe away the morning of your tears, every death that you've experienced in family, friends. May that be healed. May there be no more mourning in your life, no crying, or any more pain. May the kingdom of heaven come in each one of our lives. May it be real, folks, and give us your peace, your love. May the God of peace be with us at each one of these. Lord, grant us a picture of your strength, Lord, that you would give comfort right now. John, so may your provision be upon each person here. I thank you for the faithful hearts of this. I pray that your supernatural favor be upon them this evening, Lord, that they will throw all anxiety and fears at your throne, and also you are Lord of all, everything that takes place, you are Lord of everything that. You're Lord of all blessings, everything that pours out from the world. We only exist because you exist. But we acknowledge that you are our God. We bless you, Jesus. We need to have a picture of God with these persons here. Can't do it for a while. Here we go. sure if you can make profit.
Blessed be the person who has been that we call